Today, we are finishing our series in 2 John, and I'd like to appreciate and thank you for just continuing, for just joining me every Sunday morning this past month. And as we've walked through 2 John, it has been such a blessed journey together where we have learned the fundamentals of our faith and how the truth, love, obedience, and faithfulness come together in our lives to root us deeply in not only in God's Word, but in this life that we face together and this life that surrounds us with many, many challenges. And as we've learned, many deceivers are around us. And it is amazing how the truth has allowed us as believers to be set apart by God. I've been reading through the Old Testament lately, and it has amazed me how, since the Lord called Israel out of Egypt, how He had set them apart, and how the Lord made sure that they would become a distinct people. From the moment they left Egypt in Exodus to the moment that they were in the plains of Moab in Deuteronomy and the Lord giving them His word, His law, it made me realize that we who are called as well out of this dark world have been set apart by God and to be made a distinct people with one God, one truth, one salvation, and one faith. And indeed, as we meditate on the truth, as we come to realize how precious the Word of God is and how precious His truth is in our lives, we are also reminded of how narrow the path that we walk in this life. That there are no shortcuts, there is no other way but one way. Jesus Himself declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as we walk down that narrow path that the Lord has laid down for us, we are called, dear brethren, this morning by the Apostle John, to practice something that is countercultural at this very moment in history. The Apostle John writes this morning to us, God, through John, exhorts us, dare I say, commands us to do something that is so countercultural today that some of us might feel uncomfortable this morning talking about it. To be honest, I was uncomfortable myself while studying it. But praise God for His grace. And praise God that there is no escaping God's Word if we study it word by word, verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph, chapter by chapter, book by book. And this morning, as a distinct people, as people who are called children of God, as people who are walking down that narrow path of faith, as a distinct people who love the truth, who want to preserve the truth, who want to protect the truth, John, in the last portion of his letter, commands us to practice discrimination. What comes to your mind when you hear the word discrimination? It's a big word. It's a hot topic today. It's a big word in the world today. And many people, celebrities, politicians, have been pushing for what is called anti-discrimination. And those of us who are in the legal professions, those of us who are familiar with politics, who understand social policies being pushed today, understand this term, discrimination. It is a term that means, as simple as I can explain it, it is preferring someone because of something that sets him apart, or extending preference to someone. There is racial discrimination. There is gender discrimination. There is sexual orientation discrimination. There is social discrimination felt by those who feel like they are discriminated because of their status in life. And this issue of discrimination has a long list that just continues to grow and to grow and to grow every day, every week, every month, every moment that we monitor our society. And indeed, there is legitimate acts of discrimination, don't get me wrong. I believe that there are genuine acts of discrimination. But I also believe that a lot of the discrimination that is happening today is merely based on preference, merely based on hurt feelings. If what I say to you offends you or hurts you, when I speak the truth, I can be accused of discrimination. And it is uncomfortable when society starts to use the tool of pressure to persecute us and beat us into submission, to let go of the truth and label it as hate speech, all in the name of anti-discrimination, all in the name of tolerance, all in the name of wanting to say that we are to love one another. But as much as there are legitimate acts of discrimination, and there are, believe me, there is racial discrimination, there are crimes against race, there is crime against gender, there are crimes against women, violence against women, and these are acts of discrimination. I believe also that as we study God's word this morning, that not all discrimination is negative. Not all of it is negative. Especially when discrimination is done from the perspective of loving protection. From the perspective of loving protection. Let me give you an example. While our children are growing up, we tell them, don't talk to strangers. Di po ba? We teach them to discriminate by exercising discernment. The reason why we tell them don't talk to strangers is because we want to protect them. We are trying to tell them don't associate yourselves with people you do not know. Sometimes I tell my wife, if you're going out, don't go this way. Why? Because it's full of bad people. Or sometimes many crimes happen in that area. Companies are careful about the people they hire. That's why we go through the whole process of interviews, applications. Businesses are careful about who they make deals with. Why? Because in reality, dear loved ones, we want to protect ourselves and the things that are precious to us. And discrimination from a perspective of loving protection protects us and protects that which is precious to us. It's funny how the world continues to push this definition of discrimination as something negative, when in fact, even a simple look at the dictionary itself provides several definitions for discrimination. And it's funny how one of the definitions of discrimination is to use good judgment. To use good judgment. To discern, to distinguish, to differentiate. And we've been fed by society. We've been fed by social media for the past few years about discrimination and how it's such a bad thing, when in fact we can never escape discrimination. We have to discriminate. We have to distinguish. We have to differentiate. We have to use good judgment, especially as people of God. And as the definition gives us, it is to use good judgment. In the same way, we as believers, as those called by God, by name, chosen, before anything else was created in this world, we as believers are called to practice the use of good judgment when it comes to protecting the most precious thing in our lives. And what is that? The truth. The truth. As we've journeyed through 2 John, John has been laying down for us the importance of the truth. The value of the truth, the impact of the truth, the power of the truth in our lives. From verses 1 to 3, he tells us that the truth defines us as believers. From verses 4 to 6, he laid down for us that the truth bears the fruit of love, a specific kind of love, our love for one another. And we demonstrate that fruit within the local church. He tells us that the truth that we desire to obey is a result of that love that bears fruit in our lives. And then from verses 7 to 9, which we saw last week, the truth that defines us, the truth that bears the fruit of love that we demonstrate, and the truth that we desire to obey is also the very same truth that we have devoted our lives to, that we seek to be faithful to. And because of the truth's role and impact in our lives, John, now, today, in the last portion of his letter, exhorts us, commands us to protect that truth, the truth that we love, the truth that we live in, the truth that we stake our lives on. And he is calling us and commanding us to protect that truth from deceivers, from false teachers, from those who move in the spirit that is anti-Christ or against God. He is calling us to practice good judgment. In other words, he's telling us as believers, there will be times that we must discriminate, especially when the truth is at stake. John tells us that true believers who live in the true faith, who love the truth and live in the truth, true faith discriminates. Our devotion and love for the truth creates in us a desire to protect the truth in our hearts, the truth that we proclaim. It creates in us this desire from a perspective of loving protection, that we want to protect the truth from corruption. More specifically, the corruption of false teachings by disassociating ourselves from those who teach heresy and false doctrines. And John is very strong in his words this morning, dear brethren, and it should be so. And the reason why we must take this seriously, dear loved ones, is because this is crucial today more than at any time in our history, as we are being fed by a steady stream of information containing philosophies, ideologies, cultural pressure that is embedded within the messages that they teach to us. And if we are not careful, our hearts might be drawn away from the truth. Jesus himself said in Matthew that deceivers will try to entice us. And the scary part of what Jesus says in Matthew 24 is that if possible, even those who are elect would be deceived. And I want us to understand this morning that John wants us to protect the truth, because as we protect the truth, we protect ourselves. As we protect ourselves, we protect one another from deception. Brethren, the truth will always be true. The Word of God never changes. What we protect is ourselves from the deception that seeks to destroy, the deception that seeks to entice, the deception that seeks to twist our thinking to accept what is sin as right and to say that what is right is wrong. And if you have been awake and alert over what is happening the past few months, the past year, we see that these deceivers are working overtime. And we must work overtime as well to strengthen our faith. And brethren, as the Word of God exhorts us to discriminate against these false teachers, as the Word of God tells us to distinguish and to discern who these false teachers are and to disassociate from them, the reason why we distinguish and discern and discriminate and disassociate ourselves from those who are false is because we love the truth. We love the truth because we love God. We love God because His love has been poured out upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We love because He loved us first. We love because of the great love that we have received from God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We protect the truth. We discriminate against false teachers because we love one another and we seek to protect one another. And it is from that perspective of loving protection that we are called, dear brethren, to be vigilant in our defense of the truth. Loved ones, this morning, the most loving thing that we can ever do for one another is to guard each other from error. Love for the truth is not only devoted to the truth for truth's sake, but love is devoted because it defends. We want to defend the truth because we protect that which is precious to us. And as we finish our series this morning in 2 John, we end with this very crucial exhortation from the beloved apostle. It's interesting how John, who is known as the beloved apostle, the apostle of love, still retained being the son of thunder. Remember his name? He is called the son of Zebedee, the son of thunder. If you'll remember one time, John in his anger asked Jesus Christ, can we just call down fire upon these people? In his anger towards what they were doing. And as he approaches this later stage of his life, the Lord has matured him. The Lord has deepened his love. The Lord, from being a son of thunder, now he is called the apostle of love. And yet, you'll notice that he still retains that same courage. He retains that same bravery. He retains that same strong character with regard to the truth. He speaks in the absolute. He has zero tolerance for hypocrisy. He has zero tolerance for lies, and definitely zero tolerance for heresy. And this is what we need today. As the world tries to cry out for tolerance, for just accepting everything as it is, we cannot. As the world tries to say, do not discriminate me for my choices, for my sin, for my sinful lifestyle that it is called. It is not a lifestyle, it is sin. We too must have zero tolerance. Because the stakes could not be higher. And he displays this character, this courage for the truth, this loving perspective of protecting the truth out of love, founded on the maturity of faith developed by love, lived out in the truth, and being an apostle who has witnessed the truth himself. And in our passage this morning, he provides us with crucial principles that we need to heed in light of the current cultural climate and anti-Christian culture that we face. So this is crucial. This is important, and we need to take heed. So we look at 2 John verses 10 to 13. And allow me to read these verses for us this morning. John writes, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. From these verses, dear loved ones, this morning we find three principles about true faith and how it discriminates. True faith discriminates by disassociating itself from what is false. We find that in verses 10 and 11. Second, true faith discriminates because it desires to learn the truth. There is nothing that it wants more than the truth. That's why it discriminates from what is false. And finally, in verse 13, true faith is never distant and disconnected. It is always connected to the truth, to those who are in the truth. And in verses 10 to 11, John now proceeds to instruct his audience and us this morning that true faith discriminates by disassociating itself from what is false. Notice verses 10 to 11. John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Nothing ambiguous there. It is simple, straight to the point, and strong. And in order for us to understand these verses, we need to remind ourselves of the reason why John wrote this portion, of the very reason why John wrote this letter in the first place. Remember that there was a situation. Most of the letters in the Word of God, most of the epistles, whether it be Paul, whether it be John, whether it be the writer of Hebrews, whether it be any of the epistles, they are there for a reason. That there was a situation, there was an event, there was an occasion, there was something happening that prompted them to write these specific letters. And it is no different from this letter. We are reminded this morning, dear brethren, that what prompted the aged apostle to write down this letter was his concern for the serious situation that was happening with the life of this lady that he was writing to. The lady, being addressed in 2 John, had extended hospitality, had welcomed false teachers into her home, which was also the church. And it is indeed a serious situation when false teachers infiltrate not only the church, but the life of a believer. And as a true shepherd of God's flock, as an apostle called to safeguard the truth, John is called into action by writing this letter to address this particular issue. And that's why he lays down the fundamentals of our faith: the truth, love, obedience, and faithfulness. And all of this comes together to protect the truth from the deceivers, the liars, those who do not bring the teaching of Christ and who move in the spirit that he calls anti-Christ or against God. And we need to understand something. Hospitality then is very different from hospitality today. Sometimes hospitality for the Filipino is offering juice. Di ba ho? When they come. Pandesal and juice. Di ba ho? Usually, tinapay. Ganun ho, no? But hospitality during that time looked very different. Hospitality was commanded by God because as preachers of the truth would travel, walang kotse, walang eroplano, walang bisikleta. Di ba ho? Ano lang ho talaga, kadilakad. Yun ho talaga ang ginagamit po nila. Okay ho? And as preachers would travel, Christians would open their homes, would welcome them, would have them, and that's why the literal translation of hospitality is to welcome strangers. Far different from our understanding of hospitality. It literally means to open your home. And Christians were commanded to be hospitable to fellow believers, especially those who were teachers of the word. For one thing, it was, of course, cost-effective. Second, the quote-unquote hotels during that time were not safe. They were places where immorality and things that were in the darkness, no, so to speak, were happening. And so that's why Christians opened their home. And it also gave another opportunity for relationships to be built, fellowship to take place, and the teachers of God's word to edify, to build up, to bring the word. And during that time, this is where false teachers were now taking advantage of the believers' generosity. That was bad enough, but what was worse was that these false teachers were not only taking advantage of their generosity, but were also starting to bring in demonic doctrines, as the Word of God calls them, and introducing them into the minds and hearts of believers. Now, some of us might be saying, buti na lang, I don't welcome anybody in my home. Hindi po. Di ba? With the steady stream of the internet, we need to be vigilant as well. And we might be opening our doors, figuratively speaking, to false teaching as well. And can you imagine how dangerous this was? No wonder the writer of Jude, in Jude verse 3, beloved, while I was making every, says, Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder John writes with such urgency, with such seriousness, because this posed a great threat to the work of the disciples and the apostles, who have labored long and hard to establish these churches, to establish the truth, to bring the truth to the lives of these people. And these false teachers posed a great threat to the spiritual lives of those living in those homes. And that's where John now writes this last portion in verses 10 to 11. And in order for us to understand these commands, dear brethren, we need to understand verses 10 to 11 as a whole concept. Because John is not only giving us a command, but he's presenting to us a very important position and proposition. He's giving us a command that has a condition. He's giving us a command that has consequences if we do not heed these commands. And in verse 10, notice he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. The condition, the command, and the consequence is in verse 11. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. And we need to understand this whole concept. Some of us might be thinking, paano na yan? I'm not supposed to say hello. I'm not supposed to say good morning. Am I not? Does it mean that I close my door to my relatives who are unbelievers? No, that's why we need to understand this command as a whole, as a proposition. Being given to us by John. Because in order for us to understand what he is thinking, we need to look at the verse in its entirety, these verses in their entirety. These verses are taken as a whole so that we understand that what John is simply saying is this. John says, anyone who denies the biblical doctrines, that's what he refers to in the teachings that these false teachers do not bring. Anyone who denies the biblical doctrines about Christ and the faith must not be entertained by believers. In other words, what he's commanding us to do when he says, do not receive them into your home, do not give them a greeting, is this: we disassociate ourselves from them. If they are clearly teaching what is wrong. And boy, I had a hard time studying this. Because it is not only uncomfortable, it is going against what society is currently telling us. And with the many people watching us over the internet, it is something that is true and is needed to be heard today. John is telling us, when he says, do not receive them, do not give them a greeting, he's not just referring to saying good morning to them. He's not just saying, don't open your doors to them. He is bringing us to this mindset that says, if anyone comes to you, comes to us, comes to this church, if anyone is trying to feed us anything that denies the personhood of Christ, anything that denies the faith, anything that is against the Word of God, we are called to disassociate ourselves. We are, in other words, being called to discriminate by disassociating ourselves from those who teach falsehood. Notice, he says, do not receive. Do not give him a greeting. In other words, dear brethren, we separate ourselves. Just as God made sure that Israel would be a distinct people when he called them out of Egypt and brought them to the threshold on the plains of Moab before entering the promised land and told them that you are my people, you are a kingdom of priests. So we are called as well to be a distinct people. The condition is there. If anyone, and this is where now we practice good judgment. This is where what we have learned from the truth, what has been taught to us through the teachings of the Word, come into full action. We must, dear brethren, in order for us to discern, place what is being fed to us every day, place those things against the truth. And if anything denies what the truth contains, John, God, through the Apostle John, is telling us we are to disassociate ourselves. Difficult, but we are commanded to do it. It is interesting how John repeats one word in particular that hopefully will drive home this point. As he lays down that condition and command, notice in the consequence, if we do not heed this command in verse 11, he repeats that word again. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deed. In other words, as we are now being commanded by this proposition, by this position that John is presenting to us, that we are to disassociate ourselves from what is false, he repeats that word greeting. It's the only word that he repeats in verse 11, 10 and 11. That's the only word. And it sparked my curiosity. Why that particular word? And why is it translated as greeting? Why greeting? What's so important about a greeting? In our modern times, a greeting is, oh, kumusta? Huh? Minsan pa nga sa Pilipino, oy, hanggang doon na lang. Diba? Uy, ganun. Minsan nga, diba, oh, yung greeting natin, saan ka punta? Tapos ang sagot, okay lang. Ganun yung mga kamustahan po natin, diba? But the word greeting here, repeated by the Apostle John, means to rejoice, to give a salute. I had to think long and hard. Why is that definition of that word? To rejoice? To rejoice. What does that mean? Well, after much thinking and much studying, it's equivalent to the modern day greeting, I am happy to see you. In other words, to greet someone, to extend a greeting, to extend a salutation to someone during that time means your presence is a source of joy. And dear brethren, it is equivalent to affirming solidarity with the one that you greet. And can you imagine during this time, this context where hospitality means opening your home? My house is your house, and you can use it freely as you wish. Can you imagine if you were to do that and you were to give a greeting to someone who teaches what is false? It is an affirmation of solidarity. No wonder John repeats it. No wonder it is such an important concept in this passage. Because as believers, we never affirm solidarity with those who teach what is false. And this is where true faith, yung totoong pananampalataya, true faith's discrimination is found. As we disassociate ourselves, we do that not out of hate, but out of love. I love you enough to disassociate myself because I want you to know the truth. That I stand on the truth. I believe in the truth. And I want you to know that as I stand on the truth, I make this line right now and disassociate myself with you so that you may know the truth and that the truth would set you free. And I'm not even talking about the minor things that we dispute. I'm not talking about the minor things that are controversial today. I'm talking about the blatant denial of who Christ is and the faith. I'm talking about what is being presented to us today in terms of our mindset. And how culture is trying to change that mindset and how culture is trying to erode our convictions. If anything, dear brethren, comes to us, whether through social media, through the things that we read, the things that we listen to, the things that we watch, the people that approach us, and they begin to say anything that is against Christ, against God, against our faith, we are called to disassociate ourselves from them, no matter who that person may be. Remember Paul when he said, even if I or anyone else comes and we teach something that is false, don't believe them. And we are reminded of this danger every day. No wonder Paul in Acts chapter 20, in verses 28 to 30, said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you, among your own, and from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. It is a reality that we face. Wolves, savage wolves, are prowling, looking for an opportunity to lead us astray. And John is so strong in his words. God, through John, brings us this strong command this morning, dear brethren, and tells us that if you do not heed this command, there is a consequence. For the one who gives a greeting, says verse 11, participates. I think one of the better translations says partakes or fellowships in his evil deeds. Dear brethren, we are at that point in history. We are at that point in this moment in time where we are being called to make our clear stand. Because if not, then we partake, we fellowship in, we participate in the evil deeds of these false teachers. And we do not want that to happen. Some of us this morning might be saying, wow, that is harsh. That is strong. That's pretty narrow. And yes, it is. Because our faith is such a narrow faith. We only have one God. We only have one Word. We only have one Savior. We only have one faith. And it is indeed a narrow path because the stakes are high. The stakes are so high, dear loved ones, that there is no margin for error. There is zero tolerance for error. And we need to be a people, we need to be the children of God who have zero tolerance for hypocrisy, for lies, for false teaching. And the very reason why John writes this, I believe, the very reason why he is so strong, why the very reason why he tells us to disassociate ourselves from what is false, is so that these false teachers will not have a platform to deliver their deception. Because once we disassociate ourselves from them, we cut them off. We cut them off. And the more people, the more brethren, the more his children, those who are indeed in the truth, disassociate themselves from what is false, they have lesser and lesser and fewer platforms to deliver their deception. Do we allow a thief to just come into our homes? Of course not. Diba? When a thief tries to pickpocket you, when a thief comes to steal something from your home, what do? You deal with that thief. You deal with that person. That's a criminal. We want them locked up in prison. We want them to bear the full brunt of the law. And that is the same thing. We want these false teachers to be locked up. We want them to receive the full brunt of God's wrath for what they teach, because God's truth is precious. And as believers, we do not and should not call someone a believer when he is clearly not. True faith is discriminating to those who deceive and move in the spirit which is Antichrist. And the reason why we discriminate is because we know the truth. We have been transformed by the truth. We are defined by the truth. We obey the truth. And as the Lord commands us this morning, we disassociate ourselves from those who are false. And that is the command of God to us this morning. That is the command to us in this moment in history. And in order for us to be able to do that, John not only gives us this command, but encourages us with another principle, that the true faith that discriminates, that disassociates itself from the false, can only do so when it desires to learn the truth. And in verse 12, John now gives a tender touch to his letter, knowing that this lady is falling prey to the savage wolves that have crept into her home, who have crept into the church and are slowly trying to erode the truth from her mind and her heart and are trying to deceive her. John writes in verse 12, "Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full." The love that the truth bears is made manifest by the Apostle John. Out of his love, even in his old age, he desires to go to this lady so that he may teach her the truth. And we are reminded, dear brethren, that we as believers also should never grow tired of learning the truth. This is the Apostle John. This is an apostle. He heard Christ. He saw Christ. He witnessed with Christ. He ministered with Christ. He saw every miracle that Christ ever did. And he will be coming personally to this lady to teach the truth so that she may learn the truth. If we are true believers, dear brethren, we also desire to learn the truth. John says, though I have many things to write to you, indeed, there is so much to learn. We are like children trying to drain the ocean with a paper cup when it comes to the Word of God. As we stand before this vast ocean of the truth, we have in our hands this small paper cup that we try to drain the ocean with. We should never grow tired of learning the truth. Here, John says, I want to come to you so that I may teach you. I don't want to do it impersonally. I want to go to you. And I love that phrase when he says face to face, because that translated literally means mouth to mouth. It's not hindi yung mouth to mouth resuscitation, but it's such a beautiful phrase. It's used, that same phrase is used when God spoke to Moses, mouth to mouth, personally. God himself speaking to Moses, face to face, mouth to mouth, through the words spoken to him. And this is what John wants. John wants to come to this lady. John wants to make clear the path that the Lord has set. God through John wants to minister to her so that your joy may be made full. John wants to teach her. John wants to come in person so that she may grow in her knowledge of the truth. And this is where we desire. This is why we desire to know the truth. This is why we desire to learn. It's because as we learn, as we grow in knowledge, as we grow in the truth, the knowledge of the truth would not only stay academic in our minds, but the knowledge of the truth would increase and grow that which will result from this truth. And what is that? The growth of our assurance that we are in the truth, and as our assurance grows, our joy increases. That's why we desire to learn. That's why we want to learn. Because it increases our joy. Are you here this morning and you're discouraged? Go to the truth. Are you starting to doubt God? Are you starting to believe these deceptions about the character of God na sinasabi nila na nakalimutan na yata ako ng Diyos? Pero sinasabi mo, anak ka ng Diyos. Paano makakalimutan ng Diyos ang anak niya? Doesn't jive. Di ba? Go to the truth. It's like nurturing plants. Over the pandemic, medyo naging plantito na rin ho ako. I water plants every now and then. Maybe it comes with age. Siguro, no? It's like nurturing plants. We water them, we give them sunlight, we give them fertilizer, di ba, no? We talk to them. Delikado po yun. But we nurture them. And our spiritual lives are the same. We nurture them. Like a tree planted by streams of living water. Our life is in the truth. And as we desire to learn, there should be that desire to learn. I hope that those of us who are enrolled in that course we're taking are growing in your joy, despite the assignment. No? Kahit tinatawagan niyo ako ng alas gis, paano ba mag-diagram? Okay lang. My joy is still there. Okay? Our joy, is your joy increasing? Learn the truth. Love the truth. Grow in the truth, because as you desire to learn the truth will nurture your heart, will nurture your soul, will nurture your spirit. Why? Because when we immerse ourselves in the truth, God speaks to us face to face. God speaks to us mouth to mouth, the very words of God coming into our lives and permeating our souls. And as that truth grows in our hearts, it makes us realize the blessing of church, the blessing of one another, because true faith is never disconnected. True faith is never distant from those who are in Christ. Notice verse 13. John ends with such a personal note. The children of your chosen sister greet you. And it's literally her sister. And chosen at that, no? Elect also, that's the translation. Your elect sister greet you. And it's a sweet reminder from the Apostle John that as believers, whether we are biologically related or not, those who are in the truth are never really disconnected, are never truly distant from one another. But because of the truth, because of love, because of obedience, because of faithfulness, and because of our desire to protect the truth from that which is false, we are never alone. We are never disconnected. We are never too distant from one another. Whether we are here, at home, or in some other part of the world, those who are in the truth are never disconnected. And it is an encouragement for us, dear brethren, because in the battles that we will face, the coming weeks, the coming months, not even talking about battles in terms of our businesses, our jobs. I'm talking about battles for our souls, for the souls of our children, for the souls of the next generation, for our fidelity to the truth. In the coming months, in the coming years, the battle will grow fiercer. Discrimination will be the battle cry of a culture that wants to legitimize that which is blatantly called sin in the Word of God. But thank God that we are together in this battle. Thank God that we are together in this life. Thank God that we are together in the truth. Thank God that we are together in love. We thank God that we are together in obedience. Thank God that we are together in our faithfulness. So that the battle that we face is faced with fellow soldiers of Christ. And we thank the Lord that the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Deception is real and it abounds. Truth, like gold, is precious and rare. And because it is precious, because it is rare, beloved brethren, let us heed the command and let us protect the truth and preserve the truth, not only for ourselves, but for those who are yet to come. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your love towards us. Lord, help us to stand firm in the truth. Help us, dear Lord, to make a clear statement for the truth in our lives. Help us, dear Lord, to protect the truth, preserve the truth, to continue on the legacy and the heritage of those who have gone before us, who have died for the truth, fought hard for the truth. Lord, we thank you that all of these things we can do, not because of who we are, but because of your enablement through the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. We thank you, dear Lord, for your grace and mercy towards us this morning. And Lord, I lift up to you each and every brother and sister here this morning. Lord, as we live our lives, may we live our lives solely for you and you alone. Lord, bless each one with your presence. Bless each one with your truth. And Lord, as we face another week ahead of us, may your truth guide us each and every step of the way. Help us to distinguish. Help us to discern. If need be, dear Lord, help us, dear Lord, to make that stand, to disassociate ourselves from that which is false. so that you may be honored, you may be glorified. So your word, your glory may shine in this crooked and dark generation. And Lord, thank you for your grace, and I pray for your blessing to be upon each one, your protection to be upon each one. And Lord, dismiss us with your love. We, in a special way, we lift up to you our 10 o'clock and 1 p.m. service. Pray for your strength to be upon our pastor, and use him as your mighty mouthpiece as well. Dismiss us with your love, and to you alone we give back all glory, honor, and praise. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.